On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, before we begin this episode, I just want to give a shout out to our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. It's Relax Sauna. You can find more information at www.relaxsaunas.com. But basically, they're putting out far infrared saunas and lamps to help with recovery. And they've been nice enough to provide us with a discount code. So at checkout, when you buy your Relax Sauna product, use the discount code MLB100 to receive $100 off. So again, just wanted to say thank you to Relax Sauna for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. And with that, let's get into the episode with Nate. All right, everybody. I'm here with Nate Friedman of the Arizona Diamondbacks organization. Nate, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Yeah, so originally from Long Meadow, Massachusetts, a little town outside of Springfield, Mass. Went to Temple University for my undergrad. I got my undergrad in kinesiology. And then I also stayed there and got my master's in sport and exercise psychology. While I was there, I worked with the football team for six seasons over the course of 7 years. And that's kind of within that time span, I kind of fell in love with strength and conditioning and was fortunate enough to help out there with that and intern with Eric Cressy at Cressy Sports Performance. Did a little personal training, one thing led to another, and I got on with the Diamondbacks. So that's kind of what brought me to this point.
And your current role with the Diamondbacks is what?
So I'm currently a minor league strength coach for the D-backs. I'll be with our low A affiliate in King County next year. I was in Missoula, Montana, one of our rookie ball affiliates, the last 2 years. So basically just helping out the organization however I can and just trying to move up one step at a time.
I hear you, man. So I've been asking everybody on this what their best professional baseball story is. Mm-hmm. I think it makes the guest relatable to the listeners, and we've had some good laughs and some serious stories. So I want to know what your best professional baseball story is that you have so far.
Absolutely. So for me, it's pretty easy. My first season when I started working, there was an individual player that one of our younger guys had played in the AZL, hadn't really made it out of there, and just work ethic wasn't really there. You could see body language wasn't too bought in, didn't really love the stuff we did in the weight room, you know, and then being with him throughout extended, you know, you kind of get to see how he pitches and stuff like that. So you could just kind of tell from an outsider's perspective, you know, obviously he wasn't where he needed to be in the weight room, but you could kind of tell how he carried himself on the field. He wasn't really there developmentally as a man, as a person, and as an athlete. So I just kind of took it upon myself to do anything I could to help the guy. And it was a really tough relationship because, you know, being a young strength coach, I kind of came a little bit too strong with like, hey, you should do this and you should do that. And he taught me as much as I taught him in terms of kind of learning how to balance the relationship and get the most out of him without, you know, forcing any agenda. So he was actually with me my first year for the whole season, and he struggled the first half, a short season, and we kind of went back and forth and had a lot of conversations, a lot of one-on-ones, and just trying to get him to work and understand what, you know, hard work looks like and how to be a good teammate. And you know, over the course of that first half while he was struggling, we made a lot of progress with that. And you know, eventually we had one conversation where we kind of just got pretty emotional with each other. And, you know, he speaks Spanish, and I like to say I'm weight room fluent. So there was a little bit of a translating going on, but we were able to have a good heart to heart. And I think it really helped me understand where he was coming from, and he understood where I was coming from. And ever since then, a switch kind of flipped with him. And, you know, he went on to finish the rest of the season. Our best pitcher, came into spring training, was a completely different guy, just, you know, would send me videos over the off season of him working hard, and came into spring training and dominated, did everything he was asked, great teammate, worked hard in the weight room, pitched really well, and Unfortunately, he was sent back with me again to Missoula to start the year. But the great thing was he dominated with us, and he never once complained. And the best story to really answer your question was 2 weeks into the season to get the email with his flight information to see him get moved up was awesome. And more so just to be a part of his journey, just to have been there and witness the transformation that he did. Because at the end of the day, it was him doing the work. Just to be there to witness it and see him grow and transform into not only a better guy on the mound, but just a better teammate and a better person, is probably the most rewarding thing, I think, as a strength coach. So, to kind of live that from basically my day one getting hired with the D-backs until, you know, halfway through this past season, it was by far and away my favorite story.
Yeah, there's a few things there that stick out to me. Number one, we've all come too hot at somebody, especially early on. Like, you're trying to make your presence felt, and you're trying to make an impact in your organization or wherever you're at, and you come in too hot. And baseball players are very unique in that they will put you in your place very quick. They have no qualms with just shooting you down right away. And so I feel like that's probably pretty relatable to a lot of people. And then the other thing with baseball is you get so much time with guys that you actually can have those impacts on people. You can have those conversations, and you can keep pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding because you're around them so much. Like, they can't avoid you, and you can't avoid them. Like, either something's going to break or you are going to break someone, type of deal. So it's an interesting dynamic in baseball, and I think especially with younger guys, you know, the population that you're working with at that level, like, that's huge for them in their development. Like you said, as players and as men, just being able to take somebody who is very raw talent-wise and, you know, as a person, and help mold them into a better ball player and a better person. You have so many opportunities throughout the day. That's a really, really awesome story, and I think a lot of people honestly will relate with it.
Absolutely. Appreciate that. Yeah, he was a great kid, and just like I said, happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's really cool to see guys move up at any level, whether you're in the lower levels or, like, I was in AAA this year and seeing guys move up to the big leagues. It doesn't matter. Like, you, those guys that you work so hard with, and then they get rewarded for their work. Like you said, they're the ones putting in the work at the end of the day and playing and getting on the field. And seeing them be able to move up in their careers is just, it's always rewarding, regardless of what level you're at.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
So you're a two-time strength coach of the year in the minor league. So first and foremost, congrats on that. That's awesome. But I want to get into that. I want to know what you're doing that makes you successful, and then maybe how your previous experiences have kind of helped mold you into to who you are today.
Absolutely. So for me, my biggest things are communication, authenticity, and building relationships. For me, I think, you know, if you can be an effective communicator and really be able to adjust and adapt to all the different types of personalities that you're going to deal with throughout the course of a season or a spring training, I think that's the biggest key. And just, you know, going hand in hand with that, just being authentic, not trying to be someone that you're not. I think the players and staff members really can resonate with that, when, you know, they can tell when someone's really being themselves and putting themselves out there, or when they're just trying to put a show on. And I think sometimes in our profession, sometimes we can get a bad rap with, like, the get back guys in college football or something like that, guys trying to be a little too hyped up. But I think there's something to be said for just being who you are and then communicating that effectively. And then, you know, going off of that, just not only doing our job in the sense of, you know, giving our best to the players, but, you know, being the best part of being the best teammate and part of a strength coach family you can be. So, you know, I think it starts with our staff in Arizona. You know, we have a really great group of people, and feeling like family and feeding off each other and being honest and open and building relationships with one another sets you up for success. And then for me, I took it upon myself to really take that into the season and kind of adopt the mentality that all the strength coaches in our league, and I mean in all of professional baseball, but specifically in the league I was in, you know, those are the guys you see the most. We're all away from our families. Like, in my eyes, we're all on the same team when it comes to that. So to be able to just reach out to another strength coach, whether they're coming to you or you're going to them, grab a bite to eat, talk shop, or just hang out and talk nothing about baseball or strength and conditioning, just to, you know, give an outlet of just relaxation and, you know, maybe talk with someone that you don't spend every waking moment with, and you know, just get to know somebody else you know, what's their why and why they're here. And I think it's just a really cool platform to connect with as many people as possible. And for me, that's I've been fortunate enough to win that award twice, and I can tell you it was just as sweet this year as it was last year, but it's more a reflection of the quality of coaches we have in professional baseball. Just to have the opportunity to work with all y'all day in and day out and get to know everybody, I mean, that's better than any award anybody could ask for. So I've had a blast and been very fortunate, and had a great time and very thankful to win that twice.
Yeah, there's a ton of good stuff in there. I think one of the big things is just being able to be yourself, like you said, being authentic, and players can sniff it out, coaches can sniff it out that if you're not being yourself, they know right away. And it goes back to, again, we've talked about it already, but you spend so much time with them, they can sniff out when you're not being who you really are. They know right away that, okay, this guy's being a little different today. What's going on? And then, honestly, that kind of hurts you in your relationships with them, because they're like, if this guy can't be a steady, like, you know, influence for me and somebody I can talk to every day, like, I don't know who I can talk to. I'm going to have to go to somebody else. So for me, like, being authentic, being yourself, being the same person every day, no matter what you have going on away from the ballpark, when you're with the guys, like, you need to be that same consistent presence, and it helps a lot with relationships. And then the other thing is, like you said, being able to talk to any strength coach and being in the same boat and knowing what that guy across the diamond or that girl across the diamond is going through, you know, gives you that sense of camaraderie and that sense of we're all in this together type of thing. Even as you move up and you know, there's the stakes are a little higher for players, and you know, their stats are the difference between them going to the big leagues or not, or whatever it is, like, that other strength coach is still going through the same stuff you are. And honestly, everybody that I've ever talked to, like, if I say, hey, you want to go get a bite to eat, they're like, yeah, let's go. And then it usually turns into a big vent session, but that's a whole different thing. But you know, it's good to just have that opportunity to talk shop with others who, you know, are in the same boat that you're in.
Absolutely. And I think that's really what it is. Just, you know, having that mindset that we're all on the same team, and, you know, all the knowledge for strength and conditioning is out there. Nothing's hidden. Nobody knows something that somebody else doesn't. So, I mean, if it's all about how, you know, helping the players, I mean, it's really, you know, you can help the players on your team, but if you can talk shop with another strength coach and maybe share some wisdom and help the other strength coach so he can help his players more and vice versa. I mean, I think that's, you know, just to confine yourself to helping your guys, like, yes, that's our number one priority, but I mean, I think all of us are, you know, as a professional, we're pretty selfless individuals. And, you know, if we can help the masses instead of just, you know, one small group of people, I think, you know, we would all do that in a heartbeat. So I just try to do my part in that and, you know, just be a good person and help where I can. Cause you know, like you said, the guy across the diamond is going through the same stuff that you are. So, any way you can help, I think it'd be foolish not to.
Yeah, and I think as a profession as a whole, we've come very far. I mean, I've been, this is my fifth season in baseball, and talking to people who have been in a long time, 15, 20 years, just how much the field has progressed in such a short time. And I think a lot of it goes back to that. It's just being a good person, being selfless, trying to help everybody so that, you know, we're all moving up in this together. We're all, you know, raising the standards of the profession together. And other people see that, front office, staffs, players, and they start to put more value in the strength coaches. And even if it's not necessarily your organization, like, if another organization is putting value in strength coaches and your organization sees it, then your organization is going to start putting value in strength coaches. So I think, like you said, as a whole, anything we can do to help the profession in general is good for me. So
absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
So other than the things that you talked about, communicating, authenticity, relationship building, is there anything else that you think makes a strength coach successful, maybe in pro ball or just maybe in general?
For me, those are the biggest ones, but just always coming from a place of service. That's another big thing for me. You know, looking for any opportunity to help, whether it's strength conditioning wise or just being there to have a conversation with guys and, you know, just a set of ears to listen to what they have to say. And then really another one is just empathy. It's really cool working baseball, see guys from, you know, you name the country, speaking different languages. You got college guys, high school guys, and everybody's got a different story. And just being able to empathize with people and being okay with, you know, hey, like, a lot of people fall into the trap. Yeah, I understand. But it's more like I empathize. I don't know what it's like to grow up in the Dominican. And I don't know what it's like to, you know, not know where I'm going to get my next meal or what have you. So being able to just learn from these guys as much as we want them to learn from us, and being open-minded and just trying to empathize with their situation and you know, kind of explain where we're coming from and have a better understanding of where they're coming from, so we can make them the best men and the best athletes that they can possibly be. I think that's a huge one. You know, you could nitpick your parts to make it fit the pro baseball narrative, but I think really for any sport, even if you're dealing with guys that are all from the States, you know, empathy is a huge tool that I think is sometimes overlooked.
Yeah, that was kind of a perspective I tried to change a little bit for myself this year, looking back and reflecting, was like, instead of just saying, oh, yeah, I understand what you're saying, is take a step back, because honestly, you probably don't understand what they're going through. And if you just take that step back and you allow yourself to be vulnerable to them, say, you know what, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here to help you. Players look at you a little differently when you say things like that, and they're like, wow, this guy is actually like listening to what I'm saying and like trying to figure out, you know, what I'm going through. And even though he hasn't, like you said, you're empathizing with them, and they start to look at you a little bit differently when you start taking that perspective instead of just, I understand. When really, we don't, like you said.
Absolutely. It's if you're showing the desire to learn and gain an understanding, I feel like that's where they're a little more receptive. And if you come off as, at least in my experience, if, you know, coming off as, yes, I understand, that's where that resistance builds between yourself and them. Because sometimes they say, okay, he understands, but they know that we don't, and then that resistance develops, and now trying to get them to do something in the weight room is just not going to happen, because they have that, even if it's a subconscious resistance that they have from a previous conversation, that's going to be present in the weight room. So I'm just trying to eliminate that and have deeper, more meaningful conversations with the guys, I think sets us up for more long-term success, instead of just getting a guy to do a given lift on a given day, or, you know, warm up 2 days out of the week. If we want him to warm up every day for the rest of his 15-year career, you know, we got to build a long-lasting relationship and have him trust in us just as much as we want to put our trust in them. So,
love it. I'm right there with you on that one, man, for sure. That's really, really good stuff. What do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
Yeah, I know. I know it sounds repetitive, but honestly, I believe being an effective communicator is the most important tool a strength coach can have. And that's not to discount any certifications or knowledge in certain sectors of strength and conditioning or biomechanics or whatever you want to, whatever rabbit hole you want to dive down. I think that's all important. But it's my belief that if you can't communicate and build relationships and really get athletes to buy into you as a person and want to work for themselves, not only just for you, it really doesn't matter what knowledge you know. So for me, I've kind of used my first year in our organization to really delve deep into techniques and different, you know, areas in which I can be a better traditional strength coach, if you will. And I'm still doing that day in and day out. But this year for me, working with our big league staff, just our whole sportsman staff as a whole, going to different courses and reading different books on communication, like that's where I'm putting a lot of my eggs right now, because I've seen firsthand, I've changed things going into this year that I had did from last year, in terms of being a better communicator. And that's given me way more success. And in terms of being able to help more guys and help them more effectively than just trying to go at them with all this different knowledge and exercise. Cause you go back to the adage, you know, if they don't know how much you care, they don't care how much you know. So getting them to build a relationship, you know, build a relationship with them and then using my skill set from there, instead of, you know, reverse trying to lure them in with strength stuff and then build a relationship, I found them just be a little more successful. And sometimes it's not a popular thought that communication is the most important thing when we have all this strength and conditioning knowledge, but I think to each their own. But for me, I think in my young career, that's where I've seen the most success.
Yeah, and it's especially relevant in baseball. We've talked about it, and I've talked about it many times on the podcast, how much time we really, really have with the guys. And if you're not just, you know, a good person, they tend to shy away. But honestly, the thing is, the better the relationship is, the more they come to you for stuff. And, you know, it's a, hey, can I get a stretch? Hey, what can I do for activation? Hey, what kind of adjustments can I make with my lift? And that's when you know you've built a good relationship, is when they're asking you questions and they're coming to you for a lot of stuff, not, you know, not just, oh, I have lift today, what do I got? It's, you know, hey, what should I eat at post game? Or, hey, we stopped on a bus, come in here and help me pick out a meal because I want to eat right. Like, that's how you know you've built those good relationships, and then those open up those other conversations with you that you can use your expertise to help them further, like you said.
Absolutely. I think, and building off what you just said, them coming to you to ask you stuff, I think it's really, for us, the most powerful tool is like being able to change the way they think. To have them, there's much more power in having them come to us and ask than there is us trying to force an agenda. I think with some of the younger guys, you do have to step in and intervene and show them what it's supposed to look like. But, you know, we can tell the guy, hey, you got to eat this, this, and this till we're blue in the face because it's going to get you to the big leagues. But until he has that desire to do it for himself and come up to us and say, hey, I want to be better in this area, what can I do? Like, that's where the most change is going to happen. You know, you can have the lasting change that's going to last him his whole career, or you can have, you know, a change that might last your season. And then when he's with another strength coach or another organization, he might just be like, if he's not asking me about my diet, I'm not going to tell him. And, you know, it's going to be fine. So just trying to shoot for the long-term change rather than just the immediate short-term impact.
Yeah. And I've had this conversation with somebody the other day, and it's just, everybody knows what works, and everybody knows that, you know, sleeping 8 hours or whatever at night is good, and eating well and hydrating a lot and having good intensity with your lifting and your conditioning. Everybody knows that stuff works, you know, but it's so hard to get people to do it because it works and it takes long-term consistency. And if somebody's not bought into to wanting to do that for themselves, they're not going to. But if they come to you and ask you those questions, you know they're at least interested in changing those things. And those are the big rocks. If you can handle the big rocks, like, you're going to have, you know, success moving forward. And then you can kind of put in the small stuff here and there. But you have to take care of your big rocks first. And if they're coming to you and asking questions about those things, you know that you have them. Where, like you said, if I force down, hey, you need to eat this, you need to eat this, you need to eat this, and they're going, yeah, yeah, okay, okay, whatever, I understand, like, they don't really understand, you know, and they're not really bought in. But if they're coming to you, hey, what should I eat? Hey, how can I help my sleep? Hey, how can I hydrate better? Then you know they're invested in that. And that's the stuff that's going to make a difference for them. I'm there with you 100%.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think it's something that, for me, you know, I learned very early in my development as a strength coach. I was fortunate enough to work for Coach Jeremy Scott. He's now the head football strength coach at Baylor. He was the head football strength coach at Temple when I was there. And it's just one phrase that he used to repeat over and over. It's just kind of stuck with me, is that the toughness is in the details. And it's, you know, I kind of took that as it is. Do you sleep 8 hours? Are you hydrated? Do you eat well? Are you on time? If you can do the little things at a high level day in and day out, you're going to set yourself up for success for the long term. Too many guys want to come in and, you know, lift a lot of weight one day and think like, that's tough, I lifted this much. And it's not about a number. It's not about one day or one week. It's about, can you do this every single day for 365 days throughout the course of your 15-year career? And then when that's over, can you adjust your values to make yourself the best husband or uncle or father, whatever it is? And just always relating what we're preaching back to life, because the lessons that they need to be a successful baseball player are no different from the lessons they need to be a successful man and contributor to society. So making it real and holistic for them as often as possible, I think, is a good context to create, and maybe gives them a little better perspective and understanding on to why we're doing the things we're doing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. The consistency and being able to do it every day is key. It's, hey, I did one day, great. Now let's go for a week. Okay, now let's go for a month. Now let's go for 6 months. Now let's go for a year. And it's like, whoa, this is hard to do. And it's like, yeah, but if you do this, it's helping separate you big time. If you can just keep sticking to being consistent with this stuff, it's going to separate you long term. So I'm there with you 100%.
Absolutely.
Do you have any advice for others in the field, maybe young coaches who are looking to get in, or even older coaches who have been around for a while? Any advice that you want to give?
I just said, you know, network. For me, networking's huge. And, you know, always looking for conversations to be had with whether it's strength coaches or, you know, any other personnel. You know, I think being in season, you know, you're out there and it's like your own little family with the players and your, you know, your manager, pitching coach, hitting coach, fourth coach, you know, build relationships with them and build relationships with the teams you're playing. One thing I learned from our assistant big league strength coach, Matt Tenney, this year was, you know, the importance of you know, when you go on the road, go up to the other team, you know, walk up to their manager, ask them what their schedule is, make sure you're not on the field at the same time as them, and kind of be courteous. And that's something that, you know, doing this year was a little intimidating for me, to go into somebody else's house and walk over to their side of the field and kind of build relationships with them. But it's super powerful, because the conversations that we had just goes to show, like, you never know where anybody's going to be down the line in the future. And, you know, just putting yourself out there and being respectful when you're on the road, and just looking to come from a good place of, you know, hey, this is your house. And, you know, I want to, you know, make sure we're not stepping on any toes. It starts with that. And then it leads to, they come to you, and all of a sudden you're just shooting the breeze and having a good conversation. And then, you know, next thing you know, maybe they're in your organization. We bring them in. So I'm just looking to build a relationship anywhere you can. And then going back to, I didn't really hit on it too much, but kind of how I got into strength and conditioning as a whole. I started as a video guy and equipment manager in my undergrad at Temple, and transitioned to strength later on. And from that, just not feeling above any job. You know, if you need a little extra money, you're a minor league strength coach, and you're in the off season and you're not full time or what have you, like, just don't ever adopt the mindset that you're above anything. You know, go bust tables, go, you know, work at a gas station, whatever. I worked in a scrap metal junkyard for 2 years just to support myself through college. Just never feeling above anything, and you know, trying to be the best person you can be day in and day out, and just have faith in that, and I think you'll end up where you're supposed to.
Yeah, man, I spent I think probably 4 years of my life working at a Big Lots. Between high school, undergrad, and grad school, I worked at Big Lots in the furniture department, and it taught me a couple of things, you know, in terms of like customer service and being able to communicate with people. But man, when I was there, all I could think about was training people, you know, and then sometimes the monotony of the season, and it's long and it draws on you. Like, doing something in the off season that's way away from strength and conditioning might actually help, you know, refresh you for the season. Say, damn, I can't wait to start training guys again. Like, I've been bussing tables, or I've been working in a scrap metal yard, or I've been at Big Lots. Like, I'm ready to get the season going. So I'm there with you. Don't discount any job, because you can take something from it, and it'll keep you sharp for your actual job when you get back to it.
Absolutely. And I mean, we all know, like, dog days of summer, everybody's grinding out there. Sometimes when you're on that bus ride, you think, man, like, what am I doing? Like, we got a 12-hour bus ride. We just played 12 in a row. And, you know, sometimes having that thought, like, man, like, if this is the worst thing that I could be feeling right now, like, you think about how hot it was and, you know, when I was working scrap metal, or, you know, how many shifts you're going to pull at Big Lots. Like, you know, sometimes you can pull that perspective too. Like, man, like, I'm super grateful. Like, this, a lot of people would kill to be in this position, to be on this bus, traveling city to city, everything paid for, working with some, you know, professional athletes, the elite of the elite in this sport. It's all perspective. So just being able to, like you said, in the off season, you know, give you a little bit of a break, and then sometimes in season, just kind of give you that perspective, like, hey, it could be a lot worse, or it could be a lot different. And just being grateful for the opportunity at the end of the day.
Yeah, I still talk to my people from Big Lots back home, and they text me all the time, how's the job, how's this, how's that? And you can just tell how excited they are, and I'm like, damn, I really have a good gig. We all have a good gig. And I mean, I could be back there and be a manager in the furniture department or in the store and, like, be absolutely miserable. But, you know, just taking that perspective of seeing it, like, I don't want to do this job. I want to get the job that I want. And the job that we have is pretty awesome at the end of the day. So it's a good perspective reminder. And it gives you a chance, you know, like you said, when you're grinding out August and it's hot and you're on a bus, like, it could be a lot worse.
Absolutely. Very grateful to be in this position.
Agreed, completely. So do you have any continuing ed resources for me, maybe books that you'd recommend, or seminars to try to attend, or podcasts that you listen to? Just where are you going for your continuing ed?
Yeah, I got a few things. So I've been trying to read more and more books over the last couple of years. And the three that really stick out to me is The Carpenter. Great book. I believe it's by John Gordon. Never Split the Difference is a good book on communication. It's written by a former Navy SEAL, so it's pretty cool. You can really have a better understanding for how people communicate and the power that, you know, really lies within being an effective communicator. And it's a good book because it gives you examples and it kind of outlines how to do things. So it's really not something where you have to, like, sit there and figure it out. It lays it out really nice. And I think if you're someone that wants to get into being a little more tactical communicator, it's a great book. And then the last one's a little bit more out there of a book. It's called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. That's by Dr. Joe Dispenza. And it's a little more, dives down into, you know, a little more mindfulness, meditation route. But it's really about using mindfulness and meditation to kind of manifest what you want in life. And I can say that is hands down the best book or tool that I've ever experienced. It's completely changed my life over the last year. And, I think Dr. Joe and his work is just unreal. It's definitely very outside the realm of traditional strength and conditioning and even a very alternate way of thinking. That I was a little resistant to at first, but it's hands down the best material I've ever decided to read or be a part of. And then the last couple of things I had was, for, as far as seminars go, anything PRI, anything FRC. And then I could not recommend anything that Eric Cressy has. I was, you know, grateful enough to intern for him for 3 months, and all his content, whether it's the at-home stuff or the seminars he has, it's just all terrific stuff. So I think all that material is really the heavy hitters that I would recommend to others.
I have never split the difference coming in the mail today, actually. It was recommended to me on one of these podcasts, and I was looking through my notes because I'm just looking for books to read, and I saw it in my notes, and I was like, man, I'd never order this book. I got to order it. So it's coming in today. So when I finish it, we'll discuss it. But I heard it's a really good one.
Oh, it's absolutely terrific. Nate Shar, Big League Strength Coach, recommended to me, and I couldn't put it down. It's unbelievable. And just reading that, and like I said, working with Nate, he puts those principles into life every single day. So being able to go home and read the book and come into work and kind of see him in action, it's, you know, I'm very fortunate. It is cool to have that experience, but it's by far one of the best books I've ever read, and it's helped a ton.
Good. I'm looking forward to it, so. I'd like to do a lightning round with you. Do you have time for me for it?
Absolutely.
All right, so four questions. First question, biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning, who is it?
Jeremy Scott.
Okay. He was Temple, you said, right? And now Baylor?
He was my head strength coach at Temple, and now he's the head strength coach for Baylor football. Just a tremendous, tremendous coach, tremendous person, and probably the best molder of men that I've ever seen. So, but hands down, Jeremy Scott.
One piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
Oh, wow. That's tough. Man, one piece of equipment to train with. I love a good old-fashioned sled. Love a good old-fashioned sled.
You can get a lot done with a sled.
Yeah, I think just the life lessons you can learn. I mean, you get some good advantages and, you know, for training and conditioning, but for me, it's just, it's you versus the sled, move or be moved, and I love it. I love it.
Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Biggest, I'd say honestly, just getting this job was my biggest accomplishment. From a very young age, I wanted to work in pro sports, and you know, finally getting the call from the D-backs and going through the interview process and getting hired. I mean, that was, felt like that's what I've been working for, and it's kind of twofold. Once I got that, I was able to now shift my mindset and set a new set of goals and where I want to be 5-10 years from now. So. But up to that point in time, that was by far my biggest accomplishment.
Last one, any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
Athletic director.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I think that's something later on in life I would like to consider. But I just think I love working with young kids and, just being able to get to guys mainly in a high school level. I think that was an interesting time in my life. And I see how, you know, how much of an impact you can have on kids with the high school age. So being able to do that and kind of help a little broader scope at a little younger time in these guys' life would be pretty cool.
Awesome, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, spending some time with me. If the listeners want to get in touch, where can we get more from you? Are you on social media, or is there a better place to get in touch with you?
So my I'm not really a huge social media guy. I know it's probably not too common these days, but my email is nfriedman@dbacks.com. You know, feel free, anybody that wants to reach out. I'd love to just talk shop or, you know, get to know people from all walks of life. So, you know, that's probably the best spot to reach me at. Like I said, I'm not really a big social media guy, but I'm always on my phone, check my email. So we'll get back as soon as possible.
Cool. Well, like I said, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll be talking soon.
All right. Thank you.
All right, everybody. That concludes this episode with Nate. I hope you enjoyed this one. Nate has already experienced a good amount of success in his professional baseball career, and I'm hoping that you were able to take things away from him. Three things that I took from Nate in this episode: try to always come from a place of service, don't be above any jobs, and work to build relationships with everyone, not just the strength and conditioning coaches. Before we end this episode, I just want to give one more thank you to our sponsor, Relax Sauna. And remember, at checkout, when you use the code MLB100, you will receive $100 off of your purchase. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.